With the right policy, the region can rebuild stronger and expand access to opportunities.
In this program, the latest outlook for the Middle East and North Africa.
The region has 2/3 of the population below 30, and providing more access to youth and increasing women's participation will allow countries of the region to accelerate their recovery. I am Jihad Azur, Director for the Middle East and Central Asia Caucasus Department at the International Monetary Fund.
Welcome to this podcast produced by the IMF. I'm Anghaam Shami. The Middle East and North Africa responded to the COVID-19 pandemic with swift and stringent measures to mitigate its spread and impact, but continue to face an uncertain and difficult environment. The latest outlook for the region says that while containing the health crisis is still the priority, governments must also begin to lay the groundwork for an inclusive economic recovery that will allow countries to emerge stronger. Jihad Azur heads the department that publishes the regional outlook. Jihad, how have things played out in recent months? How does this outlook compare with last April's outlook?
Compared to April 2020 Rio, the outlook in the region has somewhat deteriorated. Lockdowns, in addition to the drop in oil price, has led to economic slowdown, and most of the countries will this year experience a negative growth. Among the oil exporters, the recession is now projected to be deeper and the recovery to be slower in 2021, reflecting what I would call a double whammy shock on those countries. Growth is now projected at minus 6.6% in 2020 and expected to rebound to 3.4% in 2021. The markdowns affect both oil and non-oil GDP, reflecting the broad-based impact of the crisis. While MENA oil importers' projections are broadly unchanged from April at minus 1.2%, as this group has suffered from sluggish growth in trade and tourism, in addition to a decline in remittances from those who are working remotely.
So what are the worst hit sectors of the economy?
Of course, the worst hit sectors were those who were directly affected by the crisis. The drop in oil price and decline in demand have led to a rapid deterioration in oil-related sectors. In addition to that, sectors that are connected to global trade or global economic activities were affected. For example, tourism. Several countries have a tourism sector, hospitalities and entertainment that are important in their economy, and not only in terms of GDP, but also in terms of employment. And some of those sectors were affected by both the decline in oil, as well as also the decline in some of the sector activities.
How are countries mitigating the impact of the pandemic, both on the health and economic front?
Well, countries in the region responded swiftly and resolutely to the pandemic. They have imposed strict containment measures, and they have bolstered their health and emergency response. Some countries have introduced, measures to restrict foreign and including countrywide travel, closing businesses and schools. But I would say, by and large, countries were able to manage with success the phases of lockdowns. Some have introduced also new technology services in order to strengthen the measures related to combating the COVID-19. In addition to health and protecting lives, countries also introduced a certain number of measures, both on the fiscal, on the monetary and the financial sector side, in order to protect livelihoods by providing social support, ranging from cash transfers to the most affected activities, in addition to the provision of liquidity that banks provided with the support of the central banks. In certain countries, also the central bank resorted to a reduction in interest rates. However, compared to other parts of the world, the level of fiscal and monetary stimulus that was introduced remained relatively modest. And this is in most of the countries due to the limited space in policies they have.
We're hearing more of news about a potential second wave in some countries. With public finances under such pressure since April, how will countries handle a second wave should it materialize?
The second wave is still a risk for many of those countries. On the positive side, countries have already learned from the first wave a certain number of measures and policies that could help them mitigate the impact of a second wave with less impact both on their public finance and their economy. However, it's still a challenge that many countries will be facing. The priority is still to protect lives, and therefore countries need to give priority to any spending on the health and protection of the population. The second priority is extend the protection of livelihood of people, especially those who are in the low-income side and those who are in the informal sector. And for that, it is important for countries to reprioritize their expenditures going forward in order to provide additional support to those who need it, while protecting their macroeconomic and fiscal stability. In addition to that, there will be some economic scarring for sectors who would need some time to recover from the crisis. And for those, it's important for government to have special policies to address that.
Jihad, could you tell us something about the long-term risks associated with this pandemic?
This pandemic is a turning point, not only in the region, but also globally. Unfortunately, the level of uncertainty is still high, and countries have to be prepared for maybe another wave in the pandemic, but also a long-lasting impact on sectors as well as also on their overall economic activities. But this crisis has provided for countries in the region the opportunity to address some of the long-lasting issues and use some of the silver linings that this crisis helped emerge, like the utilization of technology and other aspects, in order to accelerate the transformation that would allow those economies to recover fast and also recover in a way that will help increase the level of inclusion of groups of the population that were suffering or are suffering most, like youth, women, and informal sector.
What do you see as the policy priorities for the region to emerge stronger from this crisis? And what role is the fund playing to support the recovery?
Recovering requires a certain number of issues to be fulfilled. First one is stability and sustainability. And it's very important for countries, especially who have high level of debt and weak macroeconomic situation, to strengthen their economies first. In addition to that, growth is going to be important, and growth will come from new sectors and new activities. And this is an opportunity to accelerate a certain number of transformation. Greening the recovery, building an infrastructure that helps technology to play a greater role, not only in economic activities, but also in education and the provision of health services, is going to be a priority going forward. Last but not the least, rethinking the regional and international integration into the global value chain, into the global economy, will allow countries of the region to fast-track their recovery.
With all its challenges, are there any opportunities that you see emerging from this crisis? And how can countries ensure that marginalized segments of society, especially women and youth, are included?
Well, of course, the priority now is to turn those challenges into opportunities, and allowing youth that constitute 2/3 of the population and women with relatively limited contribution to economic activities to get more access to opportunities, more access to market, will allow countries of the region to accelerate their recovery. Only if we can reduce the gap between men and women in terms of participation in economic activities compared to other emerging markets, in 10 years, we could create more than $1 trillion of additional economic output. And those are game changers for the future of the region.
Thank you very much, Jihad.
Thank you, Angan, for having me.
Jihad Azur is director of the IMF's Middle East and Central Asia Department. You'll find the latest economic outlook for the region at imf.org. Look for other IMF podcasts wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at imf_podcast. Thank you very much for listening.